This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage. I'm Tony Bruschi. We now take you back to the courtroom for segment number 5 of coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh.
The jury is present, sir.
Thank you. You may continue.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court?
Yes, sir.
Beginning with items, state's exhibits 111, 112, 113, I believe right before we broke, I presented to counsel and was going to offer it to the witness, and I believe it was without objection going to be offered into evidence.
Correct, without objection. Admitted without objection.
All right, Agent, or Mr. Greer, please review what's been marked as state's exhibit 111, 112, 113, which would align with SLED items 66, 69, and 104. If you would, please let us know if you had an opportunity to inspect those items and analyze them.
Yes, sir, I did. State's Exhibit 112 is SLED item 66, and that was determined to be 3 fired bullet jacket fragments and 7 pieces of lead listed as from Margaret Murdaugh at autopsy. State's Exhibit 11.
111?
Yes, sir. Excuse me. I apologize. 111 is SLED item 69. And that is one combination wad listed as from left axilla of Paul Murdaugh at autopsy. And State's Exhibit 113 is SLED item 104. And that was one birdshot pellet listed as found with Paul Murdaugh's clothing.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Greer, I'm going to direct your attention to State's Exhibit 90. SLED item 31. Did you have an opportunity to inspect this item?
I did inspect a SLED item 31.
Is this the item you inspected?
This firearm is unloaded, safe to handle. Yes, sir, I see my identifying marks as SLED item 31 on this firearm.
Tell us what this is.
That was determined to be one Browning Model Auto 5 Light 12 semi-automatic shotgun, 12 gauge with serial number 03867NV211.
And did you conduct further examinations on that firearm that we'll discuss in a little bit?
Yes, sir, I did.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit and entered into evidence. State's Exhibit 89, item 30 on your report. Did you have an opportunity to inspect that firearm?
This firearm is also unloaded. Yes, sir, I did.
And how do you know that?
When I'm looking at these firearms, we scribe our evidence, if possible, in multiple locations. So I'm looking for those identifying features of that SLED lab number and that item number, as well as my initials on some of these items that I was able to mark that. So I see that on this firearm.
Thank you. And for purposes of our results that we'll discuss shortly, did you conduct additional testing on that firearm?
Yes, sir.
Handing you what's been marked as and entered into evidence as State's Exhibit 91. That'd be your sled item number 32. If you recognize that firearm, if you, in fact, were the one that received it and conducted examinations on it.
This firearm's also unloaded. I'm going to look again for those identifying marks. Yes, sir, I identify this as my sled item 32.
Lastly, I'll direct your attention to what's been entered into evidence as State's Exhibit 91. I'm sorry, State's Exhibit 88 and sled item 33. Are you familiar with that item?
This firearm is also unloaded. Yes, sir. I am familiar with this item.
Is that the item that you conducted tests on?
Yes, sir. This is the sled item 33.
Then to State's Exhibit 210, which would be sled item 34. That's been entered into evidence collectively as item State's item 210. Are you familiar with the contents of that evidence package?
Yes, sir, I am.
And what are they?
Sled item 34, State's Exhibit 210, was determined to be one magazine and 26 unfired Celia & Bello 300 blackout caliber cartridges.
It was sled item 34, but this State's Exhibit 210 included with the rifle we just took a look at?
Yes, sir. It was submitted in the same package as the rifle.
Moving on to State's Exhibit 143, 144, 150, and 148. Entered into evidence already. That would be sled items 166, 167, 168, and 169.
Yes, sir.
And then you must have been marked as those exhibits. Would you please take a chance to review those? Let me know if you're familiar with them and if you had an opportunity to analyze them.
Yes, sir, I believe I have seen these items.
Okay. Tell us what they are, if you would.
All Each of these four items are 12-gauge federal shot shells, and they each all have the markings that are consistent with each other, a federal premium double-aught buck 3-inch magnum.
Do your notes indicate where they were located?
I have an indication based on the packaging.
Okay, what did the packaging indicate?
The packaging for Stakes Exhibit 150, from what I can tell, says from Red Bin on Workshop Bench. For Stakes Exhibit 144, says from Red Bin on Workshop Bench. Stakes Exhibit 143 says from Red Bin on Workshop Bench. And Stakes Exhibit 148 also says from Red Bin on Workshop Bench.
All right, thank you. I'm now going to hand you what's been previously entered into evidence as State's Exhibits 145, 146, 147, and 149. That would be SLED's number 162, 163, 164, and 165. Same as before, if you wouldn't mind, please take a look at those and let me know if you are familiar with their contents.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Tell us what they are.
All four of these items are Winchester 12-gauge shot shells, and they all appear to have the same information on the shot shell of dry lock 3-inch with the number 2.
Hand you what's been previously entered into evidence as State's Exhibit 213, SLED Item 45. Please take a look at the that piece of evidence and let me know if you are aware of what it is.
Yes, sir. This appears to be a box for ammunition in the 300 blackout caliber.
And does that box indicate the maker of that 300 blackout ammunition?
It does.
Who's the manufacturer?
Cellier and Billow.
S&B?
Yes, sir.
All right, this is State's Exhibit 260, which was previously marked for identification purposes only. State's Exhibit 260 contains SLED items 35, 36, 37, 38, and 39. Mr. Greer, I'm handing you what's been now admitted into evidence of State's Exhibit 260. Please take if you would, please take a moment to review those items and let me know if you're familiar with them.
Yes, sir. I am familiar with this evidence.
And what are they?
These are SLED items 35 through 39. These were each fired 300 blackout caliber cartridge cases with the head stamp of Celier and Bello.
Thank you.
Previously, as State's Exhibit 261 for identification purposes only. This would reference SLED item numbers 108 to 135. Collectively. Agent Greer, these items now admitted under State's Exhibit as State's Exhibit 261. Please take a moment to review those items and any notes or information you might have on them, and let me know if you're aware of what they are.
Yes, container AB was submitted to the laboratory, and it is to contain SLED items 108 through 135. I am familiar with these items, and this package appears to not have been tampered with since I sealed it last, as I see my initials and seal date there at the bottom.
And what's inside that package?
Inside this package, there are 300 blackout caliber cartridge cases, as well as 12-gauge shot shells.
And did you have an opportunity to perform an analysis on these items?
Yes, sir, I did.
Mr. Greer, I'm offering you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 398. That would reference SLED item 22.4. And I believe without objection, we'll offer it into evidence.
That's correct.
If you would please take a look at that item and cross-reference with your report and let me know if you're familiar with what it is.
Yes, sir. This container contains two SLED items. That's SLED item 22.4, which is a swab of debris that I took, a reddish brown debris swab from the right side of the item 22 receiver.
Which item is 22?
Item 22 was the camouflage Benelli Model Super Black Eagle 3 semi-automatic shotgun. And it also contains SLED item 22.5, which was another swab from that same shotgun, and that was reddish brown debris swab from the left side of the item 22 receiver above manufacturer information.
And tell us a little bit about the swabs and what you're looking for with that.
Yes, sir. When I receive items of evidence, a part of my process in documenting the evidence and opening the evidence is to look to see if there's any foreign or trace material on that item. And when I was examining this firearm and opening it for the first time, I took note of that. And when I did that, I noticed those two areas that I saw reddish brown debris. In order to preserve that prior to my examination, I swabbed those items so that way they could be collected and maintained.
All right, Mr. Greer, I'm handing you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 399, which references SLED item 22.7. State would offer that into evidence after you identify it, and I believe without objection.
Yes, sir. I do recognize this, and this package is still sealed with my initials and seal date. Item 22.7 was the unfired 12-gauge shot shell that was submitted with the item 22 camouflage Benelli Super Black Eagle 3 shotgun. During my testing, I used that submitted ammunition that came with the firearm to test fire the weapon with, and that is represented here as SLED item 22.7, States Exhibit 399.
Before we move on to your analysis and your results, if you would please tell me a little bit about the firearms identification process and the number of ways that you use to identify whether a firearm shot a particular projectile.
Sure. As we were discussing earlier, when I receive evidence into the laboratory and I begin my examination, there's a lot of documentation that has to happen. First, as we're opening the evidence, we're going to, one, make sure to preserve any of that trace or foreign material. We use photography to document the evidence as we're opening it and to photograph the actual item itself and that trace material or foreign material. We also use a lot of departmental worksheets where I take notes on the firearm, the magazine, the fired components such as the cartridge case or the bullet, and also any other thing that we need to document throughout the process, or unfired cartridges. We take note of all of that, writing down all of these characteristics that we're seeing on the evidence. In order to do our examination, though, we have to look at these fired ammunition components, these cartridge cases and these fired bullets, and look at their class characteristics. So we're gonna count on a bullet. We're gonna look at its rifling, trying to determine its caliber through weight and measuring it, and counting those number of lands and grooves that comprise that rifling, like we spoke earlier, that's what gives that bullet that twist. We document that. We may also look at those cartridge cases and look at those things that have same class characteristic. That could be the caliber of that cartridge case, the shape of that firing pin, and any overall features. Items that share the same class characteristics will compare together. And it's kind of like climbing a ladder at this point. Those items that share the same class characteristics, we climb to the next step on that ladder and we compare those items. We're gonna look at those fired bullets with each other, those fired cartridge cases with each other, and we're gonna look at all of that under high magnification. We use a comparison microscope in our laboratory to look at these items. And basically, if you think back to a biology lab that you may have had in school or some kind of science lab, when you look through a microscope, that's what we're doing. But we're using this comparison microscope to look at two things at one time. And we uses an ocular bridge so we can look through like a set of binoculars to look at these things. We can change the angles that we're looking at, all these tiny little scratches and striations and impressions on the evidence that you can't really see with the naked eye. We're gonna look at it under that magnification and compare all of that to each other to help us reach our final goal, which is a conclusion. If we have firearms that are submitted, we'll also have that documented. Those firearms that have the same class characteristics, for instance, if we have a gun that's the same caliber as our fire bullet and it shares the same rifling specifications, then that means we can compare that bullet with test fires from the firearm. So I'll make sure the firearm is safe to fire, and we'll shoot that firearm within our laboratory. We have several different ways to do that with a water recovery tank and a tunnel that we're able to shoot and recover those test specimens that I physically shot from the firearm. I'll compare those test specimens with each other to look at how those marks that I was looking for under the microscope that we were talking about, to see how they're reproducing on those test fires in whether that be a bullet or cartridge case, compare that under the microscope, and then compare that where necessary to the submitted evidence. After looking at all that, I would reach a conclusion about whether this was fired by this item or not, or whatever that conclusion may be. I arrive at that, and I write that conclusion down. At that point in time, another qualified examiner within our firearms department will review the evidence themselves. They'll look at all the submitted evidence and compare that with each other and with those test specimens that I fired and arrive at their own conclusion. If they're in agreement, then they'll sign off on my conclusions and a report can be drafted. And that's how we get the information out to our customers through our report. At SLED, we have the 100% micro verification process where everything that we're issuing a conclusion on is reviewed by another examiner. So that case file, all that documentation that I generate goes to that examiner or reviewer. It undergoes a technical review and administrative review before a report can be released. And in a nutshell, that's how we work each case. There are different parts. There's different items of evidence that we get in each case. But that's a quick overview of how each case has worked. And those that process was applied to this case.
Thank you. Mr. Greer, speaking of the peer review process that goes on in the lab, is that conducted blindly, meaning the person reviewing your report doesn't know what your findings are?
That's correct.
Okay. Could you explain? So the subsequent reviewer doesn't know what you decided in your first prime opinion. Is that right?
Right. I'll look at the evidence myself, arrive at a conclusion, and the second examiner will look at it and come to their conclusion on their own. Once they have arrived at their own conclusion, looking at the evidence with their own eyes on the microscope, they'll read my results to see if they're in agreement with what I have determined or not.
And that, I think you just testified, but was that done in this case?
Yes, sir, it was.
Before we move on, please tell me what it means for a cartridge casing to be cycled through a weapon. What does that mean?
Sure. If you think back when we were looking at the cartridge earlier, an unfired cartridge, when we look at these items under magnification on the microscope, there are several different areas that we're going to be concerned with in looking at for those microscopic scratches and impressions, those little striations. One of those would be a firing pin, and that's what comes through the breech face of the gun to detonate the primer. Also the breech face marks on that primer from the gun. Ejector marks, that's what kicks that cartridge out of the gun or the cartridge case. Extractor marks, that's what pulls it out of the chamber of the firearm so that it can be kicked out. And also chamber marks, and that's on the body of the cartridge case, that cylindrical portion. So when we're looking at evidence, our ultimate goal is to say something was fired by this gun or they were fired by the same gun. And we do that, and we can rely on those firing pin marks and those breech face marks because that's what struck the primer and caused it to detonate and fire that cartridge. There's other things that we can look at just to single out, like extractor marks and ejector marks and chamber marks of such, that we can look at to say that a cartridge has traveled through a gun. For example, if you were to load a magazine, insert it into a semi-automatic firearm, pull the slide back, load that cartridge into the chamber, and then you decide you're not going to shoot or you need to remove that cartridge for any reason, you would pull back on that slide of the handgun and the cartridge would be extracted out of the chamber and ejected. Through that process, there can be marks left on the cartridge. That also would happen when you're firing it, but that's not what detonated that primer and set that off. Those ejector marks, those extractor marks, and that just means that that cartridge, we can say, has traveled through that firearm at one point in time. That's not to say it was fired by, but it's cycling marks that we're seeing as it's cycled through that gun.
So is it accurate to say then that the cycling marks are separate and distinct from the actual firing pin marks that when you're reviewing these under a microscope?
Yes, sir. As far as what we're looking at geographically on the cartridge case, those would be in a different location when we're looking for those ejector marks or extractor marks or chamber marks. That's not something that we typically would be seeing on the primer area that detonated that cartridge.
Thank you. If I could, beginning with your results, if we could begin with your examination of all the shotgun shells, so the actual shells that were retrieved as part of your analysis. beginning with items, sled items 9 and 10, which would be states item 33 and 34. Could you tell me where these items were retrieved? Remind us where these items were retrieved from, first of all.
Sled items 9 and 10, that's states exhibit 33 and 34. Item 9 was from marker 9, and item 10 was from marker 10, which is my understanding that it was at the feed or storage room.
And I'm going to put these on the Elmo, but if you would tell us what your analysis of these items would be.
Yes, sir.
Objection to these opinions based on the prior ruling.
Please proceed, Mr. Gruber.
Yes, sir. When I compared and examined those two shot shells with each other, I determined that those two shot shells had been fired by the same firearm.
And do you know the make and model of, or the make and manufacturer of those two weapons? Projectiles or shells?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right.
Sled item 9. Yes, sir.
Item
9 is the red and color shot shell, which is States Exhibit 34.
Okay.
That was a Federal Premium Double Auk Buck 3-inch Magnum shot shell. And sled item 10 is the black and color shot shell, States Exhibit 33. And that is a fired 12-gauge Winchester dry lock number 2 shot shell.
All right, Mr. Greer, moving on to referencing item 22 collectively.
Yes, sir.
States Exhibit 399, 22.7 on your report.
Yes, sir.
Did y'all put it somewhere? States Exhibit 399. Did you have an opportunity, or could you tell us what that is?
Yes, sir. That was the unfired 12-gauge shot shell that was submitted originally with the item 22 shotgun, which is the camouflage color Benelli shotgun.
Could you go ahead and open that package for us, please?
Yes, sir. Do you have scissors or just...
Again, where that item was retrieved from.
This item was originally submitted with the item 22 camouflage Benelli shotgun that was submitted to the laboratory.
Meaning it was actually loaded into the shotgun?
When I received it, it was not loaded in the shotgun, but this was an unfired shot shell as it was submitted. This is the shot shell that I test fired in that shotgun.
Make and manufacture this item is?
Yes, sir. This is also a 12-gauge Federal shot shell, and on the shot shell itself, it also says Federal Premium Double Auk Buck 3-inch Magnum.
Okay. direct your attention back to State's item 34. Are those two items consistent with each other?
Yes, sir. It does appear that they are consistent in construction and their head stamp information.
Thank you. If you would, since let's work through the number of firearms that were identified by you. Did you have an opportunity to test those firearms with the projectiles retrieved?
Yes, sir, I did.
What were your results for item 30, the Mossberg pump action shotgun?
In regards to the two shot shells?
Correct.
My results after examining that, it was determined that the item 30 shotgun did not fire the items 9 and 10 shot shells.
And could you move on to item 31, State's item, one moment, I'm sorry. And the item you just referenced was State's item 89, the Mossberg shotgun. State's exhibit 90, sled item 31. Could you please tell us about that item?
Yes, sir. Based on my examination, I was able to determine that item 31 was not fired by, excuse me, that item 31 did not fire items 9 and 10.
All right, concerning State's exhibit 91, your sled item 32, that would be a Benelli Super Black Eagle 2, black in color. Could you tell us your results of that?
Yes, sir. Based on my examination, it was determined that item 32 did not fire items 9 and 10.
Item 32 was, however, recovered with a number of rounds in it, is that correct?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
And what were those rounds?
Item 32, the Benelli model Super Black Eagle II shotgun, was submitted with two unfired 12-gauge shot shells, Federal and Winchester.
All right, did you have an opportunity to compare the shot shells with item 22, the camouflage color Benelli Super Black Eagle 3?
Yes, sir, I did.
All right, and if you would, please tell us your findings concerning item 22.
Sure. When I compared sled items 9 and 10 with those test shot shells that I fired through the item 22 camouflage shotgun, the results of those comparisons were inconclusive. I was unable to determine whether or not items 9 and 10 were fired by item 22 or if they had been fired by another firearm with similar characteristics.
And were you able to eliminate item number 33 from this round of testing concerning the shotgun shells?
That's correct. The shotgun shells were not fired by the item 33 rifle.
Moving on to your results, moving on to your testing, or did you conduct an additional testing of 300 blackout rounds?
Yes, sir, I did.
And of the cases of the ammunition, both fired, spent, so shell casings, or unfired ammunition, were the ones we examined today that were retrieved from the scene, What make and manufacturer were they of?
The cartridge cases were head stamped with the SMB logo and 300 blackout caliber.
Did you have an opportunity to test fire and examine sled item 33, State's exhibit 88, the 300 blackout rifle, black in color?
Yes, sir, I did.
All right. Could you please tell us your results from that examination for that weapon?
In regards to test firing the weapon?
Correct.
Yes, sir. When I examined item 33, I test fired it using the item 34 magazine. That was the magazine that was packaged alongside the rifle. During that test firing, the first available cartridge in the magazine, as I inserted the magazine into the firearm, it was fed and chambered into the rifle correctly and as I expected. The cartridge was successfully test fired, and then it extracted and ejected from the rifle, again, as I expected it to. However, as the firearm cycled, meaning when that bolt was coming back forward to load the next available cartridge in the magazine, it failed to feed that cartridge into the chamber, and I had to manually cycle it to load the next cartridge into the chamber. That issue did not prevent me from test firing the firearm, and no further analysis to determine that cause was conducted.
Referencing your results, sled item 128 in your exam, were you able to identify any cartridge casings that would have been fired by item 33 rifle? Your item 33 states exhibit 90, states exhibit 88.
Yes, sir, I was.
And just to be clear, we're talking about this Grenadier blackout rifle. Is that correct? We're talking about your item 33?
Yes, sir. That is sled item 33 that I examined and test fired.
What were you able to identify with the rounds recovered, the 300 blackout rounds recovered? Please list their item numbers as well.
Yes, sir. So I compared all the 300 blackout cartridges that I received, and based on my examinations and comparisons, I was able to determine that sled item 38, 109, 110, 121, 126, and 127 were fired by the item 33 rifle.
And those would be various items that were recovered that we've been through and identified in the state's exhibits. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
So some of them you would say were fired by item 33?
That is correct.
I know you mentioned before with item 33, or sorry, state's exhibit 89, I'm sorry, state's exhibit 88, I know you'd mentioned before that it wasn't working properly. Does that inhibit your ability to test it in any way?
No, sir. I was able to test fire that firearm and recover those test specimens that I needed in order to make those comparisons.
Do malfunctions occur in firearms from time to time?
Yes, sir. They can occur.
But nevertheless, you were able to simulate the fire. You were able to fire the weapon eventually.
Yes, sir. I was able to test fire the weapon and recover those test specimens that I needed.
All right. I'm going to reference sled items 2 through 7, 35 through 37, 39, 108, 111 through 120. Do you understand which items I'm referencing?
Yes, sir.
And how did you compare those, or how did the analysis go when compared with item 33, states item 88?
Yes, sir. When I compared those items, that was items 2 through 7, 35 through 37, 39, 108, 111 through 120, and 122 through 124, and 128 with each other, and when I compared those with those test specimens that I fired through item 33, the results of those comparisons were inconclusive. Again, that means I was unable to determine if they had been fired by item 33 or they had been fired by another firearm or firearms with similar characteristics.
Still on item 33, states exhibit 88, the recovered 300 blackout rifle. Were you able to compare the ejection and extraction marks of various 300 blackout rounds recovered and casings recovered?
Yes, sir.
And what was your findings concerning some of those items? And please list the items, and we will go back and identify state's exhibits in a minute.
Yes, sir. In looking at the mechanism marks on items 111, 114 through 115, 118 through 119, 123, and 128, I was able to determine that those items had all been loaded into, extracted, and ejected from the item 33 rifle at some previous time.
Okay.
Mr. Greer, I'm going to ask you,
Your Honor. I'm going to renew my objection to the next opinion that he's about to offer based on our prior rulings, just for the record.
Yes, sir.
Prior arguments and understanding the court's rule.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Greer, I'm going to real quick reference on your chart, on your list, items marked sled items 2 through 7, 35, 36, and 37, and sled item 39. And that would be state's exhibits 63 through 68. And just please verify that I've handed you state's exhibits 63 through 68 and identify if they correlate to items 2 through 7 on your chart.
Yes, sir. These state's exhibits 63 through 68 are sled items 2 through 7.
And then I'm going to show you what's been marked as take the court's indulgence. State's exhibit 260. State's exhibit 250, which correlates to sled items 35 through 39. Please verify that for me.
Yes, sir. This is state's exhibit 260, which is a container that is to contain sled items 35 through 39.
Okay. Sled items 2 through 7. State's exhibit 63 through 68. After review of the crime scene, where were those located?
After reviewing the crime scene diagram, it's my understanding that those cartridge cases were at marker numbers that were near or around the body of Margaret Murdoch.
And those would be 300 blackout rounds, is that right?
That's correct. They're 300 blackout caliber.
Or they were spent casings?
Yes, sir. Those are fire cartridge cases.
And state's exhibit 260, items 35 through 39, what are those again?
Those were all fire 300 blackout caliber cartridge cases, head stamped with the S&B logo with the and 300 blackout caliber.
And where were those items recovered?
Listed on our submission documents, those were from the ground at side entrance door.
Have you physically been there to the Mazzell property?
Yes, sir, I have.
Are you familiar with the ground at the side entrance door?
Yes, sir, I believe so.
Is that the side entrance that leads into the pool table and the gun room?
Based on my understanding of the scene, yes, sir, I believe that is where those were collected from, near that door that goes into that room.
We have 300 blackout round casings collected from around Maggie's body, and we have 300 casings collected from the house. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And do you have any notes? Did you take any contemporaneous notes on the condition of items, your items 35 to 39, those collected at the side of the house?
Yes, sir, I do believe so. I'm going to reference my case file here to confirm.
Would referencing your file help you refresh your memory on that matter?
Yes, sir, it would. During my examination, when I looked at items 35 through 39, which were those were recovered near that door area, I did note that they were tarnished and weathered in my case file.
Mr. Greer, tell us what you found concerning those items.
Based on my examination, it was determined that items 2 through 7, 35 through 37, and 39 had matching mechanism marks, and it was concluded that those items had been loaded into, extracted, and ejected from the same firearm at some previous time.
So if I understand it correctly, the items collected right by Maggie had been extracted, to, loaded into, extracted to, and ejected by the same firearm that were identified, that items were picked up by the side of the house.
Yes, sir, that is correct.
Additional items were collected as well, and did you have an opportunity to analyze those?
Yes, sir, I did.
And identify the sled item numbers, and then we'll identify the state's exhibit numbers.
Those were sled items number 108, 113, 116, 117, and 122.
Handing you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 261, which includes various items. And what are they again?
Yes, sir. This is a container that contains multiple 300 blackout caliber cartridge cases and fired 12 gauge shot shells.
And in that collective bin include 300 blackout rounds of the items you just listed?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
All right, tell us what your findings were for those items. Where were these collected?
Based on the submission documentation, those were collected from areas such as from to the left of a shooting chair near field, from a right corner near field, from in front of a shooter's chair under a table. Would you like me to identify each location?
For those items, have you had an opportunity to review some body-worn camera footage and evidence and kind of identify what that actually meant?
Oh, yes, sir.
What and generally, when it says left leg and right leg and near the front or back, what is it talking about?
It appears that there's some type of shooting area that those were collected from.
Okay. What were your findings concerning those items?
It was determined that those items, and to include items 108, 113, 116, 117, and 122, also had those same matching mechanism marks to conclude that they had been loaded into, extracted, and ejected from the same firearm as those at the crime scene around Margaret Murdoch's body and those several recovered from the home.
So the items collected around Margaret Murdoch's body matched the items collected outside the house, which matched items that were collected in the field at the shooting range?
Yes, sir. I was able to identify that the cartridge cases recovered, items 2 through 7 near the body, did have matching mechanism marks with several of the items from the area around the home and those in the shooting field, and several of those in the shooting field, to conclude that some of those had been, that those had been loaded into, extracted, and ejected from the same firearm at some previous time.
I'm going to reference sled item 8. That would be state's item 250, state's exhibit 250. I'm going to put it on the screen. What is that item again? Remind us, please.
Sled item 8 was one fired bullet determined to be 300 blackout caliber, listed as near tire impression at marker 8.
Recovered from the scene?
Yes, sir, at marker 8.
Is that a fired projectile?
Yes, sir, that is a fired bullet.
Is that, how much does that bullet weigh?
According to my notes when I weighed that projectile, it weighed approximately 147.4 grains.
I'm handing you what's marked as Exhibit 213. remind us again what that is?
State's Exhibit 213 appears to be an ammunition box marked cellular and below and 300 blackout caliber.
What are the grains indicating on that box?
On the side of this box, it has information about the projectile, and it says 147 grains on the side.
Is State's Exhibit up on the Alamo, is that consistent with a 147 grain projectile?
Yes, sir. That bullet appears to be intact. And based on my examination and looking at these fired bullets as a part of an examination, I would say that would be consistent with having being 147 grains.
Did you have an opportunity to inspect sled item 12?
Yes, sir, I did.
Tell us your results of that.
Sled item 12 was one fired bullet, determined to also be 300, most consistent with being 300 blackout caliber, and it was listed as from bedding inside doghouse.
And did you have an opportunity to weigh that projectile?
Yes, sir, I did.
And what was the results of that?
When I weighed that projectile, it was approximately 146.8 grains.
Is that consistent with the 147 grain unfired ammunition?
Yes, sir. I would say that would be consistent with 147 grains.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as state and entered into evidence as State's Exhibit 143, 144, 148, and 150. Could you please remove those collectively and let me know if you are familiar with the make and manufacture of those items?
State's Exhibit 143 is a 12-gauge Federal shot shell. It says Federal Premium Double Lock Buck 3-inch Magnum on the shell, on the side of the shell. State's Exhibit 144 is also a 12-gauge Federal shot shell. On the side of it, it says Federal Premium Double Lock Buck 3-inch Magnum. State's Exhibit 148 is also a 12-gauge Federal shot shell. On the side of it, it says Federal Premium Double Lock Buck 3-inch Magnum. And State's Exhibit 150 is also a 12-gauge Federal shot shell with the same information of Federal Premium Double Lock Buck 3-inch Magnum.
Thank you. Are all of those four exhibits that you just reviewed of the same manufacturer and same make and model?
Yes, sir. They appear to have the same information and also in their case, in their construction as well.
So if I use one for demonstrative purposes, all the rest are the same?
Yes, sir. They appear to be all consistent.
Showing you what you just identified. This would be State's 143. Is this the item you just looked at, Mr. Greer?
Yes, sir.
Showing you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 34.
remind me again which item that is. Sled item 9?
State's Exhibit 34 was sled item 9. That's correct.
And what's the make and model of that?
Sled item 9, State's Exhibit 34 was a fired 12-gauge shot shell with the Federal Premium double-lock buck 3-inch magnum, red in color.
Showing you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 399. This would be... Where's item 9 from?
Item 9 is listed as from marker 9. And again, based on my understanding of the crime scene document, that was near or around the feed room.
And marked as State's Exhibit 399, sled item 22.7. Where is that item from?
Sled item 22.7, State's Exhibit 399, was the unfired 12-gauge shot shell that was originally submitted as item 22 with the camouflage Benelli shotgun.
Item 4, and you've already reviewed this. Exhibit 4 for the state, 22 for you. Is that the same shotgun that you're referring to?
Yes, sir. This is my item 22 shotgun.
Camouflage Benelli Super Black Eagle 3. Is that right?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
And all those items are of the same model and manufacturer. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. They all appear to have the same head stamp information and information on the side of the shell, and their case construction all appears to be consistent.
Reference your item 10 now. Well, first let me collectively hand you what's been marked as State's Exhibits 145, 146, 147, and 149 collectively. Please take them out individually, review them. Let me know if you recall what they are. Make and model. Make and manufacture is what I'm interested in.
State's Exhibit 145. It's head stamp Winchester 12 gauge with dry lock 3-inch and a 2 on the shell. State's Exhibit 146 is head stamp Winchester 12 gauge. On the shell it says dry lock, 3-inch, number 2. State's Exhibit 147 is head stamp Winchester 12 gauge. On the shell, dry lock, 3-inch, number 2. And State's Exhibit 149, head stamp Winchester 12 gauge, on the shell, dry lock, 3-inch, number 2.
Do you know to indicate where those items were recovered?
Based on the packaging.
What is the packaging? Where does the packaging indicate those items were recovered?
The packaging for State's Exhibit 145 says from a state box on bookshelf in gun room. State's Exhibit 146 says from Kent box on bookshelf in gun room. State's Exhibit 147 says from nightstand in Paul's room. And State's Exhibit 149 says, from a state box on bookshelf in gun room.
I'll hand you what's been marked and identified as State's Exhibit 33, sled item 10. Where was that located?
Uh, Sled item 10, again, was a fired 12-gauge shot shell, head stamp Winchester 12-gauge on the side, dry lock 3-inch number 2. And that was located at marker 10, which again, based on my understanding, was near that feed room.
Identify, please, the make and manufacturer of that item.
Yes, sir. It was a head stamp Winchester 12-gauge. And on the shell, it says dry lock 3-inch 2.
Is that consistent with the make and manufacturer of all the other items you just reviewed?
Yes, sir, it is.
Are those all the items you just reviewed, Mr. Greer?
Yes, sir.
All right, no further questions from the state.
We'll take a few minutes break. Ladies and gentlemen, do not discuss the case.
That wraps up the fifth segment of coverage for you today. In the trial of Alec Murdaugh, one more segment to go. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss that here on the podcast feed. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.